Okay, here we go.
Good morning, I
guess. Good morning.
It's morning.
Yeah, I'm Liz.
I'm Naomi.
And we're the Ryan Galloway girls. And we're excited to be here.
Yeah.
We were just talking about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things to talk about. But I think first we should, like, update everyone who, you know, doesn't follow you closely on social media on how things are going, like, with your pregnancy.
Yeah, I'm so, 7 weeks.
That's amazing.
And seven weeks and three days. And tomorrow I get to go and see the baby again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You had your first ultrasound.
I did, and I had my graduation from my IVF clinic, which is, like, crazy.
That's
because
so huge.
I have heard, like, stories that, like, some clinics don't graduate you until, like, 10 weeks. But my clinic was like, oh, we see a heartbeat. Bye.
I
was
like,
okay.
That is so cool.
And
so
graduation only cost me $500.
Nice. And then you just go to your OB. It's
and like, I just go to my OB.
Oh my gosh.
And, like, I can imagine probably, like, if your OB won't see you until 8 or 9 or 10 weeks, like maybe the graduation would be really a lot more important, or, like, staying with your IVF clinic would be a lot more important. But, like, my OB was ready to see me at 7 weeks one day.
That's good.
And I was like, but my IVF clinic wouldn't see me until after 6 weeks and 4 days. That was the earliest. And I was like, do I need to go to the graduation? But then I was like, I really want to close the chapter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I spent $455 just to, like, close the chapter there. And I'm really happy that I did, because I, like, love my clinic. Like, I love the doctors. I made the doctor, Dr. Udoff, who did my transfer, like, come in the picture. I haven't posted the pictures of graduation yet because I want to, like, see the baby's heartbeat one more time. I'm, like, superstitious.
Aww.
But I go tomorrow and I see her heartbeat. And it's funny because I kept trying for a while to, like, say their heartbeat, and, like, but then I, like, let it slip her. And Brian,
surprise,
it's a girl. It's funny because we had so few surprises, but then I didn't realize Brian was telling everyone that it's a girl and her name.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So I will tell the podcast her name.
Yay.
Okay, so this is really, really exciting. So this is a long story. Get ready. What isn't a long story with the Ryan Galloway girls? So my dad, his mom and his birth father ran away and eloped. They, like, she's English, he was Czechoslovakian, and they ran away and they eloped in Ireland and then moved to the United States, knowing no one, and naturalized as citizens. And he joined the U.S. Army, and after my dad was born, he was killed in a training accident. And so my poor grandmother has these two babies. My dad is barely a year old.
Oh my gosh.
And she's here in the United States, and she is visiting Oklahoma, and she's going to live in Tennessee. So she's going to go back to Tennessee, and she's going to go home from Tennessee, from Oklahoma, sorry, to Tennessee by way of Chicago, which is not the way you get to Tennessee from Oklahoma.
Okay.
But Chicago calls. So in Oklahoma, they're going to have a ball, and this British officer, who's a bachelor, is going to be there. He's a bachelor.
This is a fairy tale.
Yeah. And Chicago calls and says, don't come. We're sick, and we don't want to get the little sick. So my grandmother goes to this ball and meets this British officer. And this British officer, John Stanhope Baddeley, he said that he thought he was going to be a bachelor for the rest of his life until the most beautiful creature he had ever seen walked into the room.
Aww.
And he was just smitten. And inside 10 months with letter writing, their courtship was via letters. They ended up getting married. And this bachelor officer, who was 9 years older than my grandmother, comes back to the UK with two children. And it's just, like, the most wonderful thing ever. So my dad's name was Richard Stanton Havelsky. And when they got married and they did everything, they switched the Stanton to Stanhope after my grandfather, and then added the Baddeley. And so I thought it would be really cool to, like, my grandfather was, like, seriously the best person in the whole world.
Aww.
Like, I loved my grandfather. I called him O-Pop, and, like, he was just the best. And I really was like, well, I don't have a little boy to name him John, so I will have our daughter's middle name be Hope after Stanhope.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
Her name is Addison Hope.
And it's obviously so, like, perfect for what you've been through and the hope you've held on to. Like,
and we all need a little more hope in this world.
That's right.
So
I love it. It's
And it's, like, such a fun middle name. And, like,
yes.
I'm not sure I like, I mean, I'm not trying to offend anybody whose name is Hope.
Right.
But like,
or whose daughter's name Hope.
Right, right.
But it's a little
it.
Overdone. Like, I feel like it got very popular for a while.
I don't know. I feel like it's hard to have a four-letter first name.
That's
like,
true, too. It's like,
I don't know. I'm a nickname person.
Right, you can't shorten it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, but Lila doesn't have
right.
Lila's a four-letter first
true.
Name.
True.
Oh, man.
True.
I just my own niece. I'm just
it is true. Like, it's really hard to pick a name and not feel like either it's too popular or it's too weird or it's too, like, yeah, it is so hard. But
it's funny because I thought Addison was pretty popular.
It is kind of,
But people are like, Addison, that's strange. Not Madison.
And okay, like, so that's good. It'll be as, you won't have, like, 10 Addies in her class because they do have, like, 10 Maddies in my daughter's school.
Well, and I feel like it was a couple years ago. I don't know. We really liked the name Addison.
Yeah.
We love, like, Addie for short. And,
you gotta do what you love.
Addie Hope. And, like, it's cool
so
because Brian's middle name starts with an H, too. And, like, our boy.
Oh, nice.
So, like, our boy name was gonna have an H as a middle name. And we're like, oh, my gosh, what if we, like, of course, we're dreamers. So we're like, what if we have another girl? Like, what's another H middle name? So that's like our like thing.
Oh, nice.
And like the other thing with Addison, I was like, so my last name is Badley or has been Badley my whole life. And it's really, really great to be at the beginning of the alphabet. And Naomi's maiden name is Kane.
Yeah,
so
with
she
C.
was
with
C. So she was at the beginning of the alphabet. It's great to be at the beginning of the alphabet. I didn't know how I felt.
Yeah.
But my daughter's last name being Raubacher, she'd be all the way at the end of the alphabet. I was like, if we give her a first name with an A, then she'll be at the beginning of the alphabet sometimes.
Sometimes, right, when they go away to first name. It is tough.
It's so stupid. It's like the dumbest thing because I'm thinking about when they line up ABC order in school.
It's more than that. Like, so yeah, my business is Aiken Warner and by having, like, the Aiken first was part of, like, literally, like, Google searches, it comes up sooner if it's an A. Like, when someone's over, like, obviously Yellow Pages, which was a million years ago, but if someone's looking for a business, they see the A ones first. So it actually matters in life if you're in A versus a W.
I gotta tell you, like, we're, like, the childcare centers are listed. Common Ground Childcare comes ahead of Reston Children's Center and Simon Center, which are the other two nonprofits. And so, it like, I'm always like...
And there's no favoritism, but there is, because alphabet, it's just...
It's just listed higher on the page.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, oh, like, I get why people named their swim and sports shop Aardvark, because it's double A,
or,
it's first.
Yeah, or double A, triple A, like, different, like, business names.
Or, like,
names. You
say
AA services or whatever.
I worked for this, like horrible company that actually the owner went, like, had legal troubles. But it was called ABC Management Consulting.
Yeah,
like,
same like
ABC
thing.
Right at the beginning of the alphabet.
Yeah,
so.
And that might have been more of like an 80s, 90s thing, but like it worked.
Yellow Pages.
And it still comes up. Like it still does even in searches,
yeah,
I feel like.
So,
anyway, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that story. But
and
how are you feeling physically?
I'm feeling really good. I've run 99.9 pregnancy
that's amazing.
Miles.
So that's your September miles. That's like how you're counting
that's my September so far.
That's awesome.
Like, so here's the thing. When you have an embryo transfer, you know exactly when you put that pregnancy in. So, like
when
there's
it started.
No, like, when did I ovulate? There's no, I thought, like, maybe I should count back to, like, first day of my last period because that's, like, what they count for, like, my 7 weeks. Like, technically, the embryo has only been inside of me, like, 5 weeks or 4.5 weeks or something like that, which is crazy to think. So, anyway, yeah, no, I feel really good. So I'm just counting from September because that once that pregnancy test turned positive, I started running again. Almost 100 miles, like 0.1 of a mile shy.
So
I
we'll
feel
get that
good.
Obviously this week.
I'm exhausted. Like I feel actually great from 5 a.m. until about 1 p.m. and then I'm just like flat out exhausted.
Yeah.
Mentally taxed, physically taxed. Other than that, I have no symptoms, and so part of me is, like, really, like, damn it, I want some. Well, okay, I do have some symptoms.
Yeah.
My boobs have grown. My, and also after 1 p.m., my belly sticks out. Well, like, even, like, you said, I look, like, pregnant.
Uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
in the afternoon.
Like it's like a bloat, like, yeah, thing where you feel, like, full.
Yeah.
That's a very common symptom.
Yeah, so I have that in the afternoon, and I was having heartburn. I'm not having heartburn anymore.
That'll come and go, because, like, it'll get. Yeah, I didn't have mine until, like, later, but I did have it early, too, with the digestive stuff.
Yeah, and I would have it, like, just, like, when I'm hungry. I'd be like, oh, the heartburn, I should eat, and then it would go away. And so Brian's like, this is the weirdest heartburn I've ever heard because, like, you're, like, sitting there eating spicy jalapeno stuff.
To get rid of it.
To get rid of it. And I'm like, it's just food. It just needs food.
It's more reflux then or something. Like, yeah, your body's, like, trying to – it's basically telling you you're hungry and
– yeah, basically.
Sending reflux symptoms.
So,
but, and you've had, like, the breathlessness.
Yes.
But that hasn't affected your running.
Walking up hills is harder than running for me. Like, it's the funniest thing. Like, I literally, like, I cannot breathe when I try to go up a hill. Walking.
Yeah. And then, but running, you've been feeling good. Yeah. I've still been struggling to keep up with you on our runs. So that's good.
Well, I mean, that's just sometimes.
That's just typical Liz running.
I just hope that I can kind of keep it going. I do need to start cross training. Like, I'm starting to feel some, like, imbalances pop up, and, like, my cross training is not my favorite, but I've got to, like, start lifting again and start, like, taking care of, like, you know, I just feel like I'm running a little more on my right side, which is kind of always the case, mm-hmm. and I just need to, like, balance that out, so.
Yeah, yeah, I was, like, looking forward to getting some, you know, double in yesterday mm-hmm. after work, and then my foot was hurting.
So
I did get in the Peloton. It was fine. But I was like, no, why are you hurting again? Like, it's been so good for so long. And
yeah.
I'm seeing PT and, like, I have mega knots in my calf that she's working on the knots. She's working on my actual foot and, like, and giving all kinds of things to try to strengthen the arch and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm trying to work through all of that for the foot and I saw it pop up on, like, memories yesterday of a year ago.
That.
Yeah, it was like you know how Strava gives you this run last year, and the run was titled Testing the Foot. I was like, oh God. And it was a stroller run, and I was testing the foot. And I was like, oh, let me see what it said in there. And I saw the comments about the plantar and apparently tendonitis at the same time. It must have been the top. And I was just like, this is so depressing that, like, a whole year plus a couple months, and I'm still, like, in the same place.
I know, but just think about how – but you're not in the same place. Like, it is getting better. Like, you were at the point where it was still getting worse.
Yeah, and, like, February, March, it was getting a lot worse this year. I just – it's so hard because I know that, like, the right thing might be to do is to take time completely off, but maybe it's not, and, like, it's so hard to know what to do.
Well, just think you have my entire pregnancy to take off because I have already mapped out, like, from my due date, I've mapped 8 weeks off. Now I'll probably be induced a week early, so that's 9 weeks off. Hopefully I won't need more, but even if I need more, I have 4 more weeks of, like, base building.
Yeah.
That can be moved before CIM training. So it's not that I'm a crazy person, but I like to plan things.
Yeah.
And I feel like for so long I've spent so much time not planning, running, and not, like,
and
focusing.
And not prioritizing that in your life.
And not focusing on any of that. And I'm like, you know, I think it's really time for me to get excited about a plan. Now, here's the thing. I've planned a lot of races that have then just not happened. I've changed my mind or whatever. So I'm not saying, like, I'm planning this and then I'm definitely going to do this.
Right?
Like, I will sign up for the race. I have the plan. I will do, like, 60 to 80% of the training block, and we'll just see where I get to. You know, like, I'm not, like, crazy about... I'm just relaxed about performance and things like
that's
that.
Good.
I'm more, like, excited just to have something on the calendar and just to prioritize a little bit of myself.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I have been a vessel to try to get pregnant for so long that, like, I'm going to be excited to, once this little person is separate from me, to get a little bit of my body back.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I know, like, it'll still be feeding the baby and still be nurturing and caring, like, I'm not delusional in that way. But, yeah.
But, yeah, it's that piece of yourself. And that's where, that's part of why I can't take a substantial break from running, and I don't, is because it's too important to me.
Yeah.
Like, I do have a lot of other things in my life. It's not the only thing. I'm not a runner. I am a person who runs. But yeah, it's too important to me to, like, set it aside for a long time just because of, like, an injury. Like, I'd rather just run injured than, like, honestly.
Yeah.
And it sounds dumb, but, like, that's who I am. And, like, yeah, I know, you know, I know that some people would criticize or, you know, but it's just,
I mean, but we have all these other tools. So, like, if after this fall block, you've got to do another, like, round or another, like,
oh, yeah,
even if it's another 8 week, even if it's another, like, just 8 week, like, down block.
Yeah.
Where you're, like, focused on biking and maybe a little more pool running or one land run a week plus one pool run plus a lot of biking. Like, you know, winter's a great time to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. And, like, for the spring, I'm fully, you know, I'm probably going to sign up for some halves. Like, I'm not going to be, doing this mileage or, like, the mileage of a full marathon.
You have to do a half because we have Jeff's half
in
March. And I
can't wait.
I will be 7 months pregnant, so yeah. I will probably not be running a half
marathon.
Hopefully
you can come.
But I will, my plan right now is to come. I want to reach out to the Galloway organization and see if I can be the race announcer because I feel like that would be super fun. But either way, I'll be there and I will be talking loudly for everybody to hear. So they can either give me a microphone or I will come up with my own bullhorn.
I was going to say, like, they should just realize that. Put you behind the mic because it lies.
Because I'm gonna take over and steal the show anyway. Might as well, like, make it official.
Yeah. No. So that's, the weekend of St. Patrick's Day.
Which is
it's in Atlanta.
So
it's so great.
I am basically going to have a pot of gold as a belly.
Yeah. We come for the costumes. So you have a pot of gold for your belly.
It's going to be so cute.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for me.
Like, oh, for
our little
sure.
baby. So,
so exciting.
Yeah. So you'll definitely have that. And plus, like, we've got great races. We've got great local races in the area. Like, there's a couple in March. There's a couple in May.
Yeah. Like I was thinking Frederick again. I love Frederick. It's always amazing.
Yeah. There's
enjoy.
Also the women's half in May.
Yeah.
It might be the same weekend.
It's the same
as
weekend.
Frederick.
So I've never done that one.
If you're, like, depending on, like, what the spring is looking like, I might suggest doing that one instead of Frederick because it is a fast, flat course. And not that, like, you haven't performed super well at Frederick. You have. But, like, the difference between running a 1:49 at Frederick and running a 1:47, which I think those two are equivalent times, like, just mentally, it might feel really good to run on a faster course. Especially if you're trying to, like, push back into the 140s at that point.
I like that.
If you're still, like, in the, like, you know, kind of 152 range, like, it could be a toss-up because you do perform well on tough courses. But if you're in peak shape, like, it might be worth doing a fast course.
It's a good thought. Yeah, so I'll have to think about that one. But,
We have lots of time. I don't think either one of those sell out.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of time. So that'll be good.
Or maybe there'll be different weekends. I mean, it is hard to race halves back to back.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do them half back to back, but
I mean, it's possible though. It's hard to
do. I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did 6 halves in 8 weeks one year.
I did the most was like maybe 4 in that same time frame, but yeah, there was one year where I did 2 of the back to backs and it was Frederick and when they had the Iron Girl in Columbia the week before Frederick, I guess. And they both were right around 2 hours and like that was really big for me because I had not broken two yet. And so
I
were right at like 2 and 2:01 or 2:02.
I ended up with tendonitis in my ankle from doing like too much racing.
Yeah.
Like just because it's a high volume of like fast running and like especially like for me when like I've always run all my runs slow. So like then to like run race pace on a couple of runs, like back to back, like that's a pretty high, pretty like, like big switch up.
Yeah. And yeah. I think now I'm like even less, I'm older. And so, yeah, yeah, back then I was able to do some of that without.
We're
some,
smarter now.
Too. Yeah. I was like 29 or 30 and like without regard to what I was doing, I was able to do some of that. And now I feel like it's, you know, it's a little dangerous. So yeah. It's because it does end up like I've ended up injured or like just stupidly, you know, PRing and then 6 days later thinking you could PR again and PRing again, actually, but like not having as good a day as you wanted to because you have all these back to back races.
Right. Right. Like that's like the hard thing about racing is like race often because it's fun, but realize that if you're racing often, you're not going to see those times like drop all the time potential. And you're not going to be like perfectly rested for things. Right. So like it's super fun to race often. But like you have to remember that, okay, let's take a 5K time, a 26:30 and a 26:03 and a 27:01 and a 26:14 are all the same. Like they're all the same potential. Like, so like don't, you can get really in your head over these seconds, but it's the same potential. It has no bearing on like who you are as a person. And you can't go out there and be like, I'm a 27 today. Now I'm going to run a 26:40. You're not going to drop time every time. You may the first couple times you do it, but like, yeah, courses are different. Your body each day is different. I read something really cool. The fitter you get, the longer it takes to warm up.
I saw that. And that's Lisa also
posted it.
Yeah. And it's also related to mileage.
Yeah.
Too. And like the fitter also being, meaning like the, in that heat of peak season when you're doing more mileage, you do, and that makes sense. Like you need more time. So if you're, you know, you just did a mega workout or a huge long run on the weekend, then on Monday or Tuesday morning, you go to do your easy miles and you feel so stiff. And so and it takes you 6 miles to warm up.
I mean, that makes sense. When I was, like, in the peak of my marathon training, I didn't feel good in runs until, like, 7 miles
mile
in.
Mile 7, I know.
I'd be like, I'm like, mile 5, this is killing me. Mile 7, woohoo, let's go.
And it still takes us, I feel like, 2 to 3 miles till we're warmed up, like, and halfway through.
Yeah, feeling, like, really good.
And the first mile is always a liar. So, yeah, we just, the first
can't
mile,
can't trust the first mile or the last mile. Doesn't matter what race you're running. Even in a 5K.
Yeah. So. Actually, so that's a good segue into one of the topics we want to talk about because we're talking about potential.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we haven't talked about some of the basics in a while. So one of them, you know, I wanted to mention was VO2 max. And first of all, what is VO2 max? I don't know if we've covered what it is. And then like, are there ways to improve it? How do you improve it? And so the first thing to know about it, well, I guess, what is it? We should talk about what
sure. So it's the maximum amount of oxygen your body can absorb and use during exercise.
Right.
And it's a measure of your aerobic fitness. So your VO2 max can change at different points in your training, but you are limited genetically by the upper limit of your VO2 max. So you can train to improve your VO2 max to a point. Some people are going to just have naturally higher VO2 maxes than others. Like Lance Armstrong was thought to be like the best.
Yeah.
However, one thing that does change your VO2 max is the amount of red blood cells you have. Thus, how much erythropoietin you're taking. And erythropoietin is a natural hormone that everybody produces that tells you, signals your body to create red blood cells. And what dopers did was take exogenous, which is outside of the body, erythropoietin to improve red blood cells, red blood cell production. So just a little segue there. So you are limited genetically by the top end of your VO2 max, but where you are right now, you can improve it.
Where you are, it will be based on your fitness and what kind of training you're doing.
Yeah. And then it's funny because like the Garmin watch does have VO2 max on it.
It's an approximation because obviously it doesn't actually test you to go. You can go get lab tested and like strapped to a, you know, an oxygen, like a mask that measures the intake.
Right.
And then it measures you, you know, the max that your muscles are taking in.
Yeah. And then, so Garmin has it, right? And one of the funny things is about it that like even when I get detrained and I was detrained for a year, my VO2 max doesn't drop lower than a like I still have a relatively high for general population VO2 max according to my Garmin.
Right.
Which is cool.
Which, like, yeah, that's what kind of made me think of it was like, yeah. We obviously have this amazing friendship and it's our running friendship is partially because we've run at the same pace. We can run at similar paces, right? But what really is interesting is that's limited by VO2 max and we're always in the same VO2 max range.
Range, yeah.
And then when we train together, obviously there is going to be a correlation because our VO2 maxes will be, you know, dependent on some of the training that we're doing, but there is a genetic component that, like,
right,
it's just who each of us
like
is.
We're genetically matched,
right? Exactly.
in our so VO2 cool. max. Yeah, it is very cool
because when you think about like finding a running partner who can actually keep up with you or isn't too damn fast for you, because I was thinking about like, yeah, I couldn't go out and run with my husband daily, like, it's, you know, because again there's a mismatch on fitness, but it's a mismatch on VO2 max. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember one of the girls that I was following or that I follow on Rhonda, she posted her VO2 max. And this is like when we had the old watch, when they were telling us a lot higher.
The drunk watches?
Yeah, the drunk watches.
The Phoenix 5 was the Phoenix 5. So excellent.
And the race predictors were a little
ridiculous.
Crazy. But like, you know, Rhonda is has been very, like, she and I have been close in paces and then she's been a lot faster. Like,
when she posted, devotes time to her
training.
Yeah, and
she posted her VO2 max one day, and mine was, like, 2 points. She was like, oh, I haven't seen 50 in a long time, and mine at the time was 52. Yeah. And this is on the new watch, and I was like, interesting, because you can run faster times and have a lower VO2 max than somebody. Because you're just pushing closer to your top end.
Potential.
It's just if everything were to equalize, people with higher VO2 maxes should be able to have on paper should be faster, but that's not always going to be the case because it's just one piece of the puzzle. Like,
very true.
Like, you also have muscle fiber typology, you have height, you have training volume, you have attitude. Mental attitude is huge in running. Like,
yeah,
absolutely huge.
And mass on a bike. So, like, watts are calculation of not only your fitness and your VO2 max and all that, but it's also your mass and, like, weight. And so, like, all these things go together and go into coming up with, like, your times, whether you're, you know, on a bike or running or whatever. But yeah, there are parameters I don't know. There's sort of like there's a place that you're, so my VO2 max doesn't vary much, even when I'm like, relatively detrained versus, you know, right now it's at 49, which is kind of, I think last year it was around that too. Like,
the lowest I've seen mine is go down to 48, and then the highest I've seen it is go up to 54.
Yeah. And I remember seeing 54 on my old watch, but I don't think since, I didn't get my new watch till right after I had Julian. So I was in a place of detraining. And so
I had the 6 when I ran CIM.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's like, again, like, because you were also reaching close to your potential. Not really, because you still probably had a lot more potential. But, like, you were training higher volume and training more. And so,
you know, it's so crazy. So just a side note. I looked back at, like, my training in 2019.
Yeah.
And I did very, like, okay, so I did the majority of my long runs very slow because I was running with other people. I didn't want to go by myself. So I was running with much slower people. And then I did my easy runs at like the 9:45 pace. And then every once in a while, I would just like run 2 or 3 miles at like a 7:10. And that was it. That was like all of my training. Like, and I did a couple of like, I did do hill workouts. That was something that I did. But I didn't do any mile repeats.
Yeah.
I didn't do even like weekday mile repeats. I would just do 3 mile blocks at 7:10.
Right.
I would do like 2 or 3 miles. So usually I would like warm up for 3 miles out and then I do 2 miles at 7:10 and then 1 mile easy. And like that would be my 6 miles like second run.
And that wasn't like every week or it wasn't like.
I would do it once a week.
Oh, okay.
About once a week.
So you did like the midweek.
Or like I would run with Jill in the stroller and we'd run like 8-something and right. I would push the stroller.
Right.
Like, but I did very little like
actual
top end training.
Right. You didn't do the big heavy mile repeats, which would be the, you know, 6x1, 8x1, 10x1, 12x1. You didn't do
that. I didn't do those. And I also didn't do like the kind of base threshold work of like the 4 to 5 mile repeats close to like 30 seconds off marathon pace, like not that right. full like minute off.
But you did like two instead of like four.
Yeah, two or three. So and I would just do a block. But yeah. it was just crazy like yeah. to think how little speed training, you know, I did. And I still got that like 4% improvement
right.
from the spring, which is just, it's really, but I did so much more volume. So.
Right. Right, exactly.
It's just interesting. Interesting how, like, training doesn't have to be perfect to improve.
No, and really, you know, so. It can be done different ways. But so can you improve your VO2 max? Obviously, like we said, there's going to be a limit on it. So how can you improve it?
Oh, cool. So this is what's considered a good VO2 max for age. So excellent would be over 46.
And that's for ages 40 to 49.
Yeah. So if you're good if you're like 44 and up, really. If you're older, obviously it starts to go down. So mm-hmm. like you're good in the 40 to 49 if you're 42 and up. Like, so, I mean, pretty much you want to be in the 40s or higher.
Yeah, and every decade, it's dropping like 1 to 2
yeah,
points.
That's very cool.
Which is really interesting to think about that when we were maybe.
Oh, wait.
So
that was male.
Men.
That was okay. male. Hey.
We're,
good news.
We're great men.
Good news. Women, your VO2 max just needs to be like 36 and up.
Yeah. It's like a 5-6 point differential between men and women.
That's interesting.
And so it's interesting though, if we look back at like where we were at in our 30s and we were on the men's scale in our 30s, but versus our 40s, like we're actually, you know,
following the trend, following the age trend.
By dropping a couple points
dropping,
is really not.
As we get older.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So one of the big ways you can improve it is switching up between having, obviously we've talked about this a lot, but don't run in your gray zone. Don't run in that middle, easy, comfortably hard zone for your heart rate or for your pace. You need to find the other edges. You need to find your easiest paces and your harder intensity paces.
Yeah, so you want to be like at both ends of the spectrum, that low aerobic base and then that high intensity sprint anaerobic work. That's going to improve your VO2 max. The other thing that this article is saying, and this is from Healthline, this is like not even from like, this is like from the most general population information that you can get. Switching up aerobic activities in a single workout. Start with cycling, then swimming, then running, and so on. And rest in between each activity.
So do a triathlon every day.
Yeah, but basically, remember when we did that like land run and then went to pool running? I'm like, maybe we need to do some more of that.
Yeah.
Like, where we like go for a little, because that might also be easier. We spent 2 hours. Oh, yeah. We spent 2 hours in the pool this weekend.
Yeah. So we should talk about what we did this weekend. Yeah. But
let's finish up the VO2
max first. So that's really interesting. Yeah. I found an article in Runner's World about improving your VO2 max. Of course, they didn't mention swimming or cycling.
Yeah. So what's cool about this is as you improve your VO2 max, you're going to notice that you're going to be less exhausted or winded when doing things like climbing stairs. It will reduce your stress levels and it will boost your immune system. So working on this VO2 max is actually, and that polarized training, and I know that polarized training, people have their own thoughts on it, but actually even coaches who are like, I don't do polarized training, they do. they just like shrink in their poles. They just use more of the range at the bottom end and more of the range at the top end. But basically low aerobic base, which is lower. It's almost like eat enough always, eat too much sometimes, mm-hmm. eat not enough never. It's like do low aerobic base always. Sometimes go stupid fast and never kind of like
sit in the middle.
Work in that middle zone.
And it's zone one. So, you know, if you've got heart rate capabilities on your watch or whatever, it's finding your zones and figuring out, you know, staying in zone one for a lot of your training. I still see too many people thinking that it's okay to have their heart rate at like 165 the whole time or 170 at our age is means that they're kind of high up there in their range.
Like, I mean, unless you have a heart rate like mine.
No, but like most, I'm talking about people who are normal.
But even still, like when we average runs, like I'm still averaging 155 on our easy runs.
And you're like and 12 beats or something higher than like.
Than most people. Most,
yeah.
So that's like the same as like a 140.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like, again, that's, you know, what I still see a defect in people thinking that they were staying in their lower zones, and unless they do have a truly high, which again is a real outlier, like Liz, if you do see 205 sometimes, okay, then I'm not as like, I don't think you're hitting too high in
well, at 160. You can also ask yourself, how tired do I feel after this?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously, did you, like, the answers, how tired do I feel after this? Okay, was it because I didn't fuel enough after all of that? But, like, with all things done, with the fueling, with everything, if you're needing to sleep after long runs or take rest the whole day, like, unless it was a hard workout, like, there's something wrong with what you did. Like, not that it's bad to, like, after a long run to kick your feet up on the couch, but, like, if you're falling asleep, that might be, it might have been too hard. Like, you should have the energy to, like, go on with your day. And, you know, I used to go for, like, 7 and 8 mile long walks on days that I had long runs because I still had the energy.
Well, that's
now
good.
I sleep. Well, but baby I'm growing sleep. A human.
Yeah.
I'm growing a human. So.
So you're, you know, VO2 max, it matters beyond like your fitness potential of what you'll run in races. It's like, it's cardiovascular health, obviously. And it can like help your whole life. Apparently it lowers stress levels, boosts immune system, which was in a study, a 2018 study.
The other thing is your VO2 max, once it's at a certain level, isn't necessarily going to correlate to faster race times until you do the training.
True.
So you can improve your VO2 max a point and your race predictors can actually get slower if you're not doing the right, like, training, especially on Garmin. Like, the metrics, whatever they're doing now, like, we were talking about the Fenix 5 being drunk, the Fenix 6 and all of the ones since that, the race predictors are so spot on. They're so close. And, like, that's what's so great is, like, your VO2 max will stay relatively consistent, but your times will change based on your training, which is super good.
Yeah. So, and then the article from Runner's World was the other one I was going to, like, cite, was basically just talked about, you know, 80% of your running should be slow and easy.
And easy.
And that's why
broken record over here.
Run walk. I mean, run walk will help you do that. And then, you know, you can do these higher intensity workouts, which can be, they can be things that are in running or they can be, like, other kinds of, you know, hit workouts, like plyometric jumping and stuff like that. But, you know, the main thing is that you polarize. So, yeah. Well, so that's fun. So you mentioned being exhausted. Let's mention what we did on this weekend.
Yeah. So, okay. So we looked at the weather. So first off, I was exhausted on Thursday and I was like, or Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I was like, can we push to Friday? And Naomi was
instead
like,
instead of getting up early on
instead Thursday. Of getting up on Thursday. And Naomi was like, actually, we can run midday on Friday. I was like, yes, let's do it. So we ran midday on Friday and we were able to get our long run in because we were like, well, like we weren't sure what we were going to do. I think we were like a short run, long run. We had no idea. And so we decided because we had looked at the weather and it was supposed to be like horrific over the weekend.
Yeah, tropical storm.
We were like, let's run long on Friday. So we ran 10 miles and it was a down week. So we only had 10. So we ran 10 miles in the same like 150 that we've been doing, which is great.
Clicking off like a metronome.
Yeah. And so this weekend.
So easy, easy.
Yeah. So this weekend, I was like, well, since we're not going to go, like, we really only had to do like another hour. But, since we wanted to get together, didn't want to run out in the rain because it was really windy too. And I'm not a big fan of running in wind.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fan of wind no matter what kind of weather it is.
Yeah,
I just
but rain
don't
and
like
wind
it.
Together. No.
Yeah.
It's
so
nasty.
I was like, well, let's go to the pool. And so we decided to go to the pool, and I think we were just going to do an hour, and then we ended up doing two.
Yeah, I'm doing a deep water pool run and an indoor pool, which now that, like, the outdoor pools have closed, now we have the option of the indoor pools, which is great. I know really not everyone has, like, a public indoor pool near them, but, like, if you do,
take advantage of it.
And it's so worth it. It was a $5 entrance fee, which is so worth, you know, it's worth doing that once a week or however often. If you can pool run, if you have an option to, like... If it seems like something that makes sense to you, which it does for us, again, because it's a lower impact thing, obviously. It's, like, no impact for my foot. It's better for
Part of, like, just I am kind of, like, I get something in my head, and I'm, like, okay, it's my mission to, like, prove this. Like, I really want to see how much pool running can really be long-term used instead of land running, especially as we get older, because here's the thing, if we stay, like, used to doing an hour a week in the pool, right, and we have the time to add another hour somewhere else, like, is it possible to get the base mileage up really high with a huge reduction in injury risk by having a portion of it in the pool? Like, where is that, like, pivot point for the pool? Like, I just don't think I'm gonna have the time to be able to get 200 miles on land in ever a month, like 50 mile weeks. I don't know. But if I did, like, I don't know. Like, and part of me would love to even say, okay, we do a long run outside, can we put an hour in the pool after the long run? Like, you know, because we have talked about how with Jeff's theory and low aerobic base, like, going these over distances, like, over distance be done in the pool? Like, how, like, I don't know. Is this all low aerobic base? Like, is it the pounding? Like, what is the piece? What's the magic piece of the puzzle?
Yeah, and if you do them back-to-back, like, when we did the back-to-back of the land run of 3 miles and then the 2 hours in the pool, it was, like, 11-ish or something, that, by doing it right away back-to-back, it's extending that time, and that's what's really important for, like, especially if you're training for a long distance, is extending the time that you elevate your heart rate and keep it elevated. And I mean, and elevated, I'm using that in air quotes, because I really do, for me, it might be 130. It's not like I'm elevating it that high.
Oh, and pool running keeps your heart rate even much lower than non-pool running.
But it's still elevated compared to, like, being on a couch. And it's elevated for a longer chunk of time than if you are working out, you know, every morning for 45 minutes or an hour. And, like, that's another thing that I know we haven't talked about too much, is that we do full rest days.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a little, because we do doubles and we do folded rest days in between. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are like, how can I do, you know, is it possible? Because every training plan I see has you working out 6 days a week.
Yeah.
Whether they're cross training or running, it's like 6 days of activity.
Even a lot of Jeff's have it, but a lot of his, say his cross training days say cross train, walk, or off.
Yep.
Like, so it really is only 3 to 4 running days a week.
Yes. It's really three solid running days, maybe four.
Yeah.
And then the cross training a lot of times is optional or, yeah.
And Jeff is just such a big believer in walking. Like, he's such, and I don't know if he's updated any of his stuff since getting an elliptical, but he himself, and this was even before his heart attack, had been swapping runs for elliptical. And we've heard, and, you know, Jeff is in his 70s now. And so, you know, he's swapping runs for the elliptical. But then we hear David and Megan on Swap talking about the benefits of the elliptical for young, like, athletes still in their prime.
And they do that a lot when they extend by going out for a run, coming in and getting straight on the elliptical.
Yeah.
So that they extend their time. Like, if they, that way they're doing 2 hours instead of an hour or whatever with the elliptical. And when you mentioned pool running and how, you know, of course, we didn't mention we have an octogenarian who, like, is that example.
Yeah.
Chris, who's in the pool doing pool running a few days
all
a week.
The time.
So that she keeps up. She's a local, you know, celebrity around here.
Yeah.
She
and
keeps up her running by doing a lot of it in
the
pool.
What, 9-10 minute mile in her 80s?
She's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, she places at every race, obviously, but she also, she was always, she was speedy
always
before,
fast.
But, like, But it's, she uses pool running to a huge extent. And she was like a big, you know, telling us like, oh, well, look
but
at
But she's done it since Joan her 60s.
Benoit, who was doing it, who, that's how she won the 1984 marathon, because she had an injury and was pool running right before she won the first Olympic
Which
marathon.
Which is crazy. It's so crazy. And it's so funny. So Ekras, I have known her since I was 16 years old, too. Which is like...
So long.
Yeah. It's just... It's crazy. She was like the crazy water running lady at the indoor pool that I worked at. I worked at World Gate Sport and Health. And
she's still there.
And she was... Yeah, she's still there.
Teaching, right?
And she... I met her when I was 16. And then that summer, I was... I had just turned 17. And I was lifeguarding at North Shore Pool. And was like, Ekras, I know you. I saw your World Gate. And like... Known her ever since.
And now we're the crazy old pool
ladies. Yeah, now
pool
we're, running the, ladies. We're the 40-year-old like, pool
What are those ladies doing in the pool?
And what's funny is we were talking about it when we were pool running this weekend. And we were like, man, we could even bring Julian, her son, if we were just doing an hour in his little floaty. And he could pool run with us. Like, and we're not even like taking away from... you know, family time or whatever.
Yeah, so, like, kinda cool. It's kind of cool because normally when you go to the pool, you know, you have to, obviously you're going to watch your kids the whole time, but like with pool running, your head's above water the whole time too.
Right.
So it's not the same as when you're swimming laps and you're completely disconnected from like what's happening with your kids.
Right. It's kind of fun.
It is.
It's kind of fun. Although, I mean, you can always swap off with someone if you are doing lap swimming because lap swimming can be great too.
Of course.
It's just a different kind of workout. It's just lap swimming, I think, is cross training. And I think a pool running is still counting as running. It's like it counts as both. It's both running and cross training at the same time, which
Very
is
true.
Really, really cool. And I would imagine a elliptical is probably like...
It's
you could probably say that that counts too. Whereas like the bike is truly just cross training.
Yeah. Different way of using your muscles. And definitely swimming for me, cause I'm like all arms, I'm all pull and I don't really use my legs. So.
I try not to when I swim because, I really think of like my swim needs to be rest or recovery for my legs,
it's a break.
Not a workout for them. So,
right. It's a break.
Yeah, so VO2 Max, find yourself a VO2 Max matched partner, but don't worry about it too much if your race predictors are the same. And, you know, also if you're the faster one, just slow down. If they're the faster one, just like it's never wrong to work on your lowest end of your aerobic base.
Yeah.
You know, one of the tricks I would do when Naomi was pregnant with Julian and I was trying to get long miles in is I would go out for 4 miles by myself. And then I would have other people join me for the rest of the run, or I would run one half with one person and one half with another person. So there's ways to kind of like build things in, or I'd run with a group and then I would like do like a 1 mile surge and then run back so I could still be with the group, but my surge would take me a lot further. So.
And if you've got, you know, a group of friends and they're faster than you, you know, use them on your days where you can like use them as a rabbit on the days that don't maybe run with them every day. But like that was amazing when we trained with Lauren and she would just keep up with us on what was our more of an easy pace for
she
us
did
and it
kind
was hard
of an,
for her.
She kind of did opposite of us. Like on our easy runs, those were her really hard, intense runs. And then so she would do easy the rest of the week and she would just she would just like, you know, work as hard as she could to try to keep up with us. And that's how she ended up breaking 2 hours for the first time in the half.
Exactly. I mean,
we also had a great day that day.
Like, we did.
Cold,
we had great weather.
It was cold. It was fast. Yeah, it was good.
But like, there's ways you can utilize, you know.
Yeah.
If you can find a partner that's like around your same kind of genetic predisposition, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pretty lucky.
Cool. We're pretty
lucky. So, all right. What else should we talk about?
I don't know. Do we have anything else we need to go over?
No.
I think that's it.
Yeah. I think that we should talk about, here's the thing, something we should talk about is I purchased the entire holiday collection for Beauty Counter. And one of the ways that you can sponsor or you can help the podcast is by shopping at rengalawaygirls.com/shop or beautycounter.com/rengalawaygirls. And we will do a holiday preview at some point where we'll unbox everything and show you everything. And probably for listeners, I think we can probably do a little additional discount on a little additional discount on holiday. So we'll come up with like what we're going to do that like around that. And just so that listeners can get a really wonderful little holiday gifts.
That's
and
fun.
Help support the podcast at the same time.
Yeah. So. And if we're on YouTube, I'm wearing some Beauty Counter pretty much every time we come on.
Yeah,
so
same.
If you're watching us.
Eventually, all these videos will... Apparently, we can put videos on Spotify, too. I just need to figure out how to do that. So I have all of our videos. I just need to put them on.
Nice. Well, that's a good thing to know. And Spotify is going to be the place to go now for me because I have an Android and I've used Google Podcasts for a while and they are taking it away.
Oh.
So I'll be listening. I do listen sometimes on Spotify to my favorite pods, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
I listen on Spotify, but I have also listened to Apple Podcasts. Yeah. So wherever you're listening, make sure that you like, rate, subscribe.
Yeah.
Help comment,
people find us.
Help people find us. If you don't like us... I don't know why you're listening.
Sorry that you got this far.
Yeah. No, if you have comments or questions or feedback, we definitely love to hear it.
Yeah. You can email us.
Yeah.
At rungallerygirls@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or, you know, shoot us a DM or...
Yeah. On Facebook.
Instagram.
We're everywhere. We're everywhere you can find
That's
girls
right.
that run. Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
And I was going to share more review that we got since, we're talking about, give us a review. So this is from KJ Runs Disney. So she said, keeping it real, it's the title. I like how Naomi and Liz aren't afraid to get into the nitty gritty and say what needs to be said. I've been running since the 80s and just switched to RunWalk in 2022. Running has changed a lot for females in that time, but there's still so much room for improvement. Thanks for your constant reminders on fueling and not taking running too seriously. I look forward to more great episodes.
Aww.
Thank you, KJ.
Oh, we do have one more thing that's so important to talk about. Oh my gosh. So there was a question in a marathon group about I think I'm overdoing it with fuel. Okay, guys. And I did some diet culture calorie math for you. All right. So you literally cannot overdo it on fuel. So each gel is around gel or gummy packs are around 150 to 160 calories. Mm-hmm. Gels are around 100 calories.
I think the jelly bean
are 100
are also
calories.
100.
Yeah. So we're going to say most fuels are 100 calories per pack on average, right? One serving, 100 calories. When you are running, no matter what your weight or metabolic rate or speed is, you can use an average of a running mile burns 100 calories. And 1 hour of running is approximately, no matter if you're only doing 5.5 miles or 4 miles, 4.5 miles or 7 miles, 1 hour is approximately 600 calories. Like, this is approximates because our bodies are not perfect machines.
Yeah.
And anybody who thinks that they can calculate calorie burn, calories in, calories out, based on a human body is just doing eating disorder math. It's not true. Because at some point, like, your metabolism slows down and speeds up based on external factors, right? So we're just going to go with the average 600 calories burned per hour, 60 minutes, 100 calories per, whatever. We're going with 600 per mile. If you are taking one gel every 45 minutes, you are getting approximately 150 calories an hour, okay? That is not too much. If you were taking the current recommendations, which is a minimum of 2 gels, one every 30 minutes, you're getting 200 calories. You are still in a 400 calorie deficit.
Mm-hmm.
So even going to this new, brand new recommendation from the Cycling and Ultra World of a gel every 20 minutes, 100 calories every 20 minutes, you are still at a 50% calorie deficit. Taking 300 calories per hour in. So do not stress about these stupid calories because calories is a unit of energy and your body is smarter than, like, basically don't stress it.
And you can't overdo it. There's no such thing.
I think you would throw up before you could overdo it.
Right.
Like, I really do.
But if you're nauseous and you're going to throw up, it's probably because you didn't take enough fuel.
True. True story. So you didn't fuel early enough to keep your GI system on.
Yeah.
So that is my calorie math for you.
Yeah.
I did that while we were out running this week, and I was like, yep. So Yeah, don't stress about taking more. More is better.
Yep.
And you're going to figure out what works for you. The big hard problem is a lot of races don't allow packs. And right. Where do you carry it?
Right.
So, I mean, there's a good April Fool's joke in there, like a fake bra with like fake boob full of calories in it or something. There's some April Fool's
a couple
gag.
Of like gel padded bra that it's actually gel.
And you just
slurp it up with a big straw. Yeah, we'll have to come up with something. But for now, yeah. So pack your pockets and just bring that fuel with you and take it and try it. Like, that's the goal. That's been our goal lately, is like eat all the fuel you bring with you on the run.
Yeah.
And like, if you fail,
enough.
That's how you know whether you had a good or bad run that day, is did you pass or fail eating all the fuel?
And bring enough. We have run into issues where we're like, we didn't bring enough even.
Yeah.
You know, like we went out for 10 miles, which was about 2 hours for us. And I think we each brought 1.5 packs of fuel, and that and we had the honey stickers, so they're 160 calories each. So that was a total of 300. We probably should have had one more pack each. Like,
yeah,
you know,
we should have eaten more.
We're working
but
on
we
it.
Did, and we're good about, like, we'll eat the Nature's Bakery, like, 200 calories right before we leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is kind of counting towards, you can eat that right when you start running, or you can, if you eat that, like, literally while you're walking out the door, or, like,
during the first mile, I'll have something.
Yeah, so that'll count towards our total. Yeah.
So, as always, eat enough.
Yeah.
And we hope that you like this episode. And don't forget to help support the podcast. There's also some on-demand shirts that you can buy. But that's friendgalawaygirls.com/shop.
Yeah. And thanks, as always, for listening.
All right. We will see you later.
Bye.
Oh, gosh. How do I...